The safety announcements, evacuation details and information are located on the wall near the entry to the chambers. In an emergency alarm will sound, wardens will assist with your evacuation from the building. If directed, please evacuate in a calm and orderly manner via the reception area. Go directly to the evacuation point in the car park beside the town hall. Are we on audio visual? Thank you. So I now declare the meeting open at 3:04 p.m. There's no apologies from this meeting. We do have Craig Davey acting as general manager today with John Harmy away on leave. Acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palaturra and Panihia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to all past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Moving on to page 7 of the agenda, which is confirmation of minutes. The council receives and confirms the minutes of the last ordinary meeting held 11th of 2025. I move in the second and please vote. Councillor Loader and Councillor House. Any discussions, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Aye. That is unanimous, thank you. declarations of interest, General Manager.
We do have
the offer. Use your mic and.
We've got Mayor Wayne Johnson for item 14.2 as a current member of the GMC. And we have Stephanie Cameron for item 12, that is, as nominated person for a position.
Yep.
So I'll step out of the meeting on the one that I'm in. We've had a discussion with Councillor Cameron. It's up to Councillor Cameron whether she sits in or steps out as. There are two potential or more potential nominations for that position. Council workshop report is on page 8 where the councillors last met. The workshop's in the agenda, and then we move on to mayor and councillor reports, which is on page 10. I'm just going to do a little report on the odour of Westbury. I just had an email from George Theo, the general manager of Taswater. It says, "Hi Wayne, with regards to odour complaints at the Westbury Sewage Treatment Plant, we are aware that this has been an issue. The odour is caused by higher temperatures in summer, which increase the rate of biological decomposition of the sludge, resulting in odorous gases. The odour is exacerbated, that word, by poor sludge mixing, which exposes dried sludge to the air, rather than maintaining a water cap. We've installed a new recirculation pump to improve mixing and maintaining a water cap over the sludge, which will reduce the release of the odour, and increase lagoon aeration, reducing the rate of biological decomposition. This pump is currently being run 24/7, and our operating team are attending the doctor's site daily to optimise the management of the sludge lagoons. We proactively informed our Westbury customers last week and released a statement to the ABC notifying the community that we are working on this issue. I trust that this meets your requirements, but please let me know if you need any further regards, George." I will be going back to George to say that we're still getting complaints regarding the odour from Westbury. Any other announcements, councillors? Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. As well as what's in the agenda, I attended the Tomato and Garlic Festival, which was simply awesome. But I also attended the Westbury Backyard Bandicoot Awareness Day. And it was really great to learn about how important it is to look after our native wildlife. And for us in the urban areas, our urban wildlife, the more developments we get, the more concrete we get, the less habitat there is for our very, very, very special endemic species. So it was great to hear how we can look after them.
Thank you. Councillor Smith.
If I could just note that I went to the Prospect Vale Park All Users meeting, and all users reported a successful summer season. They're looking forward to the winter program, and they're all experiencing significant growth in their participation. So that's Australian football, soccer, or football, world football. and touch football. Significant growth again, particularly amongst juniors and female participants. And that was on the 5th of March.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other announcements, Councillor Tidfield?
Yes, just attend a few of the things, the Carrick Hall Committee meeting on the 11th, Chudley Show on the 15th, Deloraine Streetcar Show on the 16th, the Hagley Agricultural Learning Centre visit on the 25th, and the Blackstone Heights Community News Association meeting last week, last Wednesday, and I went to the PMAT meeting in Planning Matters Alliance meeting in Launceston a few weeks ago as well.
In that yes. Period. Councillor Hales. It's not on Councillor Hales.
Is that better?
Yes, it is.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. If I could just speak quickly to the Deloraine Streetcar show on the 16th, I was lucky enough and I had reason to be there very early on that day. It's the first time I've ever been that early. But I guess what I saw from that was just how much work had gone into that show and how much passion and so much volunteer support for that particular show. It's planning, you know, 12 months in advance, and it just made me realise how much we owe to our volunteers. Not just for that show, I mean, there's another car show coming up in Westbury soon, I think. There's a St Patrick's Day Festival, and it just made me realise how much work goes into these events. And I just want to give a shout out to all those volunteers that help so much.
Thanks, Councillor. Anything else, Councillors? No? Thank you. Moving on to page 11, which is petitions. So no petitions were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? There is.
Yes,
I'll let you read it out.
So I'd like to bring a petition before Council this afternoon. It reads as follows. Petition addressed to the Mayor and Councillors of the Meander Valley Council. We, the signatories to this petition, request that the Meander Valley Council reject the proposed DL130 Bauxite Project Planning Application PA240052 submitted by the ABX Group Limited. We object to the unsustainable proposition of extractive mining proposed to be conducted over prime agricultural land, which is mapped by the Tasmanian government as Class 3 land. The community of Meander Valley are concerned about our health. The dust potentially toxic from this mine can travel kilometres. Our environment, potential runoff, dust, noise, increased traffic and toxins would infiltrate every part of our beautiful environment. The economy, Deloraine and Westbury are not mining towns. This venture would not benefit the local community and mining would ruin the tourism potential for the Meander Valley. Our families and community, from our health and livelihoods to our quality of life, this mine would negatively impact every aspect of our community. And importantly, our safety. Our roads would be less safe. Heavy vehicle traffic volumes would substantially increase above required standards as set out in the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, C3.0 Road and Railway Assets Code, putting at risk the safety of communities, visitors, tourists, bicycle riders, walkers, and other road users, and the wildlife. So we have gathered 681 signatures, 70 are from Reedy Marsh residents, 405 from the rest of the Meander Valley, and 206 from concerned visitors to the Meander Valley, both from within Tasmania and also interstate. Locals and visitors alike are equally appalled at the idea of a mine in our beautiful region. They're not just numbers. Each signature represents an individual who cares deeply about our beautiful valley, either as a resident or as a visitor. From what we understand, the ABX application will be coming before council or may be coming before council soon. So the EPA is looking at the environmental impacts. And as a council, we know that it's your job to look at how it impacts us, our lives, our livelihoods, our amenity, and our valley as a whole. So each of you get a vote, and each vote is valuable. So we entreat you to please act as individuals. We beg you to represent us as residents. You can block this mine. please think of the future of our value, of our valley, and reject this mining application.
Yeah, thank you for your petition. Following today's meeting, Council will assess whether the petition is compliant under the Local Government Act. And if compliant, it will be tabled at the next Council meeting, 8th of April 2025. Thank you. Moving on to community representation. We had no community representation we received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? No? Thank you. Moving on to public question time. Public questions with notice. No questions with notice were received for this meeting. Questions with notice. Moving on then to page 12, which is public questions without notice, and I'm just getting my timer up and running, so I'm not playing with my phone, I'm just getting my stopwatch up. So those that want to ask questions, you've got 3 minutes to ask a couple of questions if you need to, at 2:30. I'm looking for my bell. My bell's over there.
At
2:30, I'll ding the bell to let you know you've got 30 seconds to wrap up, so... Are there any questions from the gallery? Either of you, whoever's first to the mic.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson. Councillors, officers, general manager. Subject matter for this is actually the detention centre. Actually, used detention centre over the years has morphed into a custodial centre for disaffected youth, and the state government has indicated they wish to close the facility. Following the scrapping of the 270-bed maximum security prison imposed by the Eastern South Park borders...
Sorry about that.
Thank you. ...by the state government, this does not mean there will be no prison to be constructed on the Ashley land. If Ashley is indeed vacated from its current youth justice role, the Minister for Corrections has indicated minimum security facilities, a women's prison and relocation of the Launceston Remand Centre are on the table. Incidentally, any remand centre is a maximum security build. As far as the neighbours of Ashley and the general community are concerned, a prison or the like at Ashley is on the nose. Further, the group, known as Meander Valley Prison, representing the local and broader region of the Meander Valley, prior to November closure of Parliament last year, had brought no less than 1,000 signatures as a petition against the construction of a prison in the Meander Valley. And this petition was presented at Parliament and read to the Chamber. This is the third time a petition against the construction of a prison in the Meander Valley has been raised. A prison and remand centre, with all that might bring, is not the only facility that might be offered for Ashley, and is far from ideal for a tourist town, as gateway to the Great Western Tiers and a thriving agriculture, high-value production region with idyllic country lifestyle. The Meander Valley Council have called on the state government to provide a clear plan for the future as to what the government are going to do to replace this loss of a project for the region is dangerous in the extreme. You only need to think of the government's more recent performances of ships with no berth, build a stadium to get a footy team licence, try to implement a faceless development assessment panel set to take away council's assessment powers and the community's local government representation as the planning body. Hardly stellar. The community and the council as our representatives must be on the front foot. We need to be proactive and show drive. There needs to be longer-term values in place for the development at Ashley, in that the Meander Valley region can spruik its existence while being proud of a valued facility. People don't view too many marketing opportunities for a prison or a remand facility, or what demographic it brings. So enough of the preamble. Questions. Will the council undertake to investigate Ashley use alternatives other than the custodial facilities and make available planned workshop as a conduit for participation by the community of the Meander Valley to have input as part of Council's Community Strategic 10-Year Plan, Part 5. Question 2. As all councillors are voted in by the people, for the people, will all councillors undertake to communicate and openly discuss and consider, without prejudice, as is allowed by the State Government's Good Governance Guidelines, or that any suggestions or offerings that may be put forward by the community or others in relation to the future and potential use of the Ashley site to foster positive outcomes for Christian One. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Badcock. I'll take both those questions on notice. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you.
This is a question that the councillors might something directed to councillors directly, and it's in relation to discretionary planning applications. I'd just like to read what a definition of what it means with a discretionary planning application. It says, if a use or development is discretionary, the planning authority has the discretion to approve or reject the application, having regard to its potential impacts. The public are able to make representations in respect of applications for discretionary uses, and the planning authority must consider all representations when assessing the development application and determining what, if any, conditions are to apply. It's quite an onerous job as a councillor to have these apply this discretion. So my question then, with regard to the DL 130 bulk site application, when there are over 70 representations, how will each councillor approach this discretionary part of the application?
I don't know whether you want every councillor to potentially answer that. I guess I'll answer for myself and for those if they want to. I guess every development application that comes before us, Lee, we've got to assess on its merits, but we've also got to assess under the planning scheme that we abide by. So for myself personally, I'll look at the evidence that's in front of me. I'll also potentially go and have a look at the sites. But I'm also going to be guided by the officer's recommendations as well. So knowing full well that you've put a lot of time and effort into and that it is potentially a big impact on your life and well-being out there, that's something that I've got to consider as well, because we are residents, or I'm a resident of the municipality. I've lived here all my life. So I don't know whether other councillors want to add anything to that, but I think they will all be doing the same as what I'll be doing. So, the council, if you want to add something, please do. Yeah, council later.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the question, Lee. Every email that any of your group has sent me, or anybody who's not part of this group who sent me about this topic, I have fully read and reread, and I will make sure I study every single thing that's sent to me. I will also rely on our planners, who I have a huge amount of respect for. They help council understand what the Act is all about, and I'll definitely be weighing everything up with a lot of seriousness.
Any other councillors? Councillor Simpson.
I was wondering whether, given the complexities of the preamble that was given to us about the discretionary powers we have, I was wondering if the Director of Regulatory Services might have a comment about the fact that it's somewhat complicated by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Authority, and their role as to what our discretion may be. And I guess while I've got the microphone and we have such a large number of people in the gallery, do we have any time frame at the moment as to when this matter might now come before us? Like, do we have any update on that? Thank you.
That's a question to the General Manager.
We do. So the EPA has advised us on Friday the 7th that they've assessed the application. That's on their website. And they've communicated the permit conditions that they would have for this site. So our assessment starts now, so we've got 42 days statutory timeline to assess that application.
your questions.
But, yeah, I guess it goes slightly beyond that in terms of what will our role as a council be as distinct to the recommendation that is now out there from the Environmental Protection Authority in terms of the way ahead. In other words, I guess where I'm coming from in a nutshell is that our ability to override their decision, or is it in fact, I don't know whether it's the right word, concomitant, that they've done their bit and we'll do our bit, whatever that may be, as assessed by the officers going forward. And so those two things in us, as I perceive them, are separate, separate roles. So our role in a sense has been overtaken because it is a level two activity and was assessed by the EPA. So the full gamut of the things that we might look at from discretion are no longer there that we might have, say, in terms of assessing a new house on a block of land.
Krista.
Through you, yes. Mr. Mayor, I guess I would just add to that, when planning start by putting a recommendation forward to council, and in determining that application as a planning authority, under the planning scheme we have certain requirements that we must have regard to, and that is only in regard to the discretions that are triggered. So what you're saying is the parts that the EPA assess, we can't make any conditions that are contrary to what the EPA have assessed, but at the discretions that we are triggered for us to assess, that's where we will be looking into that.
Thank you. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, Lane. Yeah, no, any further questions?
The second question.
Sure. Yep.
So the state government will be trying to reintroduce the DAPS legislation. I'm sure we're all aware of that. The Meander Valley Council, like all other councils in Tasmania, were opposed to that legislation previously. So my question is, will there be pressure on each individual councillor to, because the reason for the DAPS legislation is to pass developments that are larger and maybe more controversial, will the council feel under pressure in an effort to prove that you can continue in your role as a planning authority? Will you feel under pressure to approve this DL 130 bauxite mine application so as to justify the fact that bigger projects like this can still be passed by local councils?
I can't speak for my fellow councillors because my fellow councillors come here sitting around the table and make their own decision as a planning authority. Speaking for myself, I'll be under no pressure to do anything than what we normally do sitting around this table, right?
That's good to hear.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah, Linda. Yeah, Linda, you're up. Yeah.
That's a fine. I've got to go here first. Linda Poulton from Westbury. That follows on from Lee's questions about the DAPS. Minister Ellis plans to introduce that bill in May this year. The consultation ends on the 24th of April. This bill has the potential to eliminate any appeals on the merits of planning decisions. That means that anybody currently entitled to object to a permit on the merits and take an appeal to the plan, to TASCAT, will be robbed of that capacity. So this is a dramatic adjustment to council's powers and to everybody else's powers who wants to appeal a decision on merits. The vast majority of ratepayers don't know about this development, as far as I'm aware. And does the council intend, so there's a question, does the council intend to consult its ratepayers on this proposal before council reaches its own position? We want a decision to reflect the position of the ratepayers who, as I say, by and large, don't actually know what the impact of this deal is going to have on them.
Yeah.
So when will consultation occur?
Sure. So there is an agenda item coming up very shortly on this agenda which talks about that. There's also, understanding, a public meeting being held in Deloraine. We will form an opinion in the April meeting. We've got time then to go out to the public in the time between them.
Thank you. Thank you. So do I take it in that nothing will be happening in terms of consultation before that public meeting, and to note that that public meeting is a meeting not, you know, held by council, but it's actually being held by Planning Matters Alliance. So my question is council making any effort of it on its own to ascertain and inform the municipality of the impact of this dramatic legislation? Why not?
Yeah. At this point in time, we have no plan for public consultation on the state government legislation. So we have a position that we formed on the previous legislation, which was endorsed by council. And as the mayor stated, we will be discussing at this meeting later today that topic. We'll then go to a workshop and then a further council meeting for a refreshed position on the current draft.
Thank you. Because my first and my second body, can I just ask one more question? Is it safe to assume that if the new bill really isn't substantively different to the one that was knocked back by council last year, the council's position will remain unchanged?
I think that's pretty fair assessment, because we're pretty adamant last time that we would be, like most other local government entities across the state, against what the state government has proposed.
Thank you very much.
Another question?
Hello, Kerry Dunleavy. As a resident of Reedy Marsh, who travels along both Porter's Bridge and River Roads at least 10 times a week, I have concerns about the amount of large trucks that regularly travel along these roads, and also the speed in which most of these trucks travel at. These trucks do not have the time to stop or slow down if another vehicle is approaching from the opposite direction, and combined with numerous blind corners and the lack of verge space, this poses a major safety risk to all who travel on these roads. I myself have been run off the road by one of these heavy vehicles, which was travelling at great speed. These are country roads that are used mainly by residents and were not meant for heavy vehicle use. Also, in the last floods, a tree landed on the bridge on Porter's Bridge Road. I note that it hasn't been fully repaired yet. My first question is, has this bridge been assessed by an engineer to ensure its safety, and when will it be fully repaired?
I'm going to throw a question to our works manager of infrastructure.
I'm not sure, Matthew, from Director of Works, which part I mean, I'd like to refer to you, Dave, as well. In terms of the bridge, there's a handrail repair, as I understand it, a guardrail repair, that is still outstanding. In terms of the structure and tenure of the bridge, it hasn't been compromised in terms of the event and the impact at that time. And I believe that we've also had some information and checks on the bridge in terms of its suitability around low carrying capacity in recent times, and my understanding is that that's been advised by a professional that it needs the standard to be able to carry the load appropriate to the people that have approval to travel over that's heavy vehicles, which be tried.
Right. What would happen if that traffic increased? Would it still be structurally sound?
My understanding is that it meets the current standard and it's still structurally sound. The question that you haven't asked is, it's a one-lane bridge, and certainly as you get more traffic, those things have to be considered. And that doesn't necessarily mean upgrading the bridge to dual lane or something like that. It means around the controls across the one-lane bridge in terms of the side distance from either side. So that thing is actually moving forward. The council also considering, not only because of the live situation that's prevailing there in terms of potential development in that area, but also the existing traffic conditions.
Thank you. So my next question.
That was actually two questions.
Oh, so, okay.
Right, come on in there.
Thanks. So my next question, or my last, second, third and last question, is what is the council going to do to improve the safety on both Porter's Bridge and River Roads as far as the verges, safety versus heavy vehicles? Is there any plan in place to look at that.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to the drink there for conversation, but can I just say regarding speed of vehicles on the road, speed is actually a police issue. While council are part, they can help set the speed limits, we can't enforce them.
No.
So if you actually see vehicles that you think are speeding, it's actually a police issue, you've got to get in touch. As far as maintenance of the roads, handball.
Through you, Chair, I'll just answer the first bit. Obviously, as roads grow with additional traffic, council does keep an eye on the volumes of the traffic and what those impacts might be. We're in a current process where we are assessing the road, I guess, to today's standards and understanding where there may be some deficiencies to work on. So that's something that we'll work through the process. But as Matthew said, that is that's part of our general business. We always need to keep up with the emerging trends of the road as well.
I guess I could add, we're always looking at our roads, we're always spending money on our roads, and I guess it turns out well. We'll try again. So therefore, we're always looking at our road network throughout the municipality. And it may be that, for example, a new dairy gets opened up and now there's a B double on the road that's never been there before. So it's something the council has to assess all the time.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay. Thank you. Still giving feedback, councillor? From me?
Yes.
Step further away. Yeah. Oh, I think I can fix that up.
Oh, that one up there.
I've just done that. All right. Thank you for public question time. Moving over to... We are very loud today, or I am, I keep moving further away. To councillor question time on page 15, there was no councillor questions with notice. Are there any councillor questions without notice? Councillor House.
Thank you again, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I noted in the last workshop there were some recommendations in the summary for some speed limit adjustments around Westbury Road to Mount Lizzie Road, Country Club Avenue, which is particularly relevant to me, and also Casino Rise and Picture Parade. I'm just wondering whether you might just be able to perhaps just provide an update about, I guess, the rationale behind those and a possible time frame for those speed adjustments from 60 to 50, I understand.
Through you, Chair, and thank you for your question, Councillor House. We quite often receive public comment on the safety of some of our key roads in Prospect Vale, being Westbury Road, Country Club Avenue and Casino Rise. Those roads are currently signposted at 60 kilometres an hour. Officers from Infrastructure Department Commission, the next traffic consultant to do a road safety review of those sections of road, and a risk assessment was performed as part of that. The recommendation that came through was particularly on Westbury Road and Country Club Avenue that the speed limit would be reduced to 50 kilometres an hour. This report was workshopped with the councillors in February and there was good support around that initiative. So the steps moving forward is that council will write a letter to the Transport Commissioner for Tasmania, who is the one that approves the speed limits throughout the state. As expected, that process to find out, yeah, is probably around the 1 month mark, so we should be able to advise further after that.
Great, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other questions, councillors? No? Very good. Thank you. Moving on to our agenda as such, page 17. Council notice of motion. We have a notice of motion. I have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Wader is the mover. Seconder, Councillor Dudman. Sorry. Councillor Wader is moving the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Development assessment panels, DAPs, what are they really designed to do? While there are fluffy ministerial words around more housing and looking after people, the heart of the matter is to take contentious development applications out of the hands of local councils, away from communities to be assessed quickly by so-called non-political panels.
We might just hold on. Sorry. I'll just try to turn it down a little bit. Councillor Temples.
How's that? Is that better?
That's better. Thank you. Sorry, Councillor.
No worries.
Please continue.
The first draft of this bill was passed by the House of Assembly late last year. It passed despite public submissions against it. There were nearly 500 submissions in total, and 92% of these were opposed. What did Tasmanian councils think of this bill? All councils across the state were against it. The Legislative Council sunk the bill because the independent members and the Green member sided with the community and voted it down. Undeterred, the state government has brought an amended bill with yet again a pretty tight timeframe to make major changes to legislation that will, if it gets up, completely change the way everyday people can engage with some planning processes that affect them. On 12 November 2024, our council endorsed a submission against the DAP legislation. So what's been changed in this amended bill that would create legislation that benefits Tasmanians and, more importantly for us around this table, the people of Meander Valley? According to Planning Matters Alliance, the changes made to the second version of the DAPS bill are insignificant, as they are so slight they have no practical effect. DAPS will take away council's input on some approvals and eliminate planning appeals rights, thereby silencing the voice of the community, voters and ratepayers. What's missing from this picture? The potential harm to heritage buildings, national parks and public spaces, which the bill could expose to developers. There's also the issue of the DAP's power to cancel public hearings and dismiss community input, something the government fails to mention while pushing this bill forward. It's almost like the planning minister is trying to sneak past Tasmanians with a huge sledgehammer that will obliterate our rights, saying, nothing to see here. I urge my councillor colleagues to support this motion. It is imperative that we are fully aware of what this bill is proposing and come to a position that is rooted in the best outcome for our community. In my discussions with people across the valley, while some have an understanding, it is up to us as community leaders to fully and expeditiously communicate the ramifications of this legislation in a way that is heard and can be acted on. And I say scrap the DAP.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thanks, Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Loader, for bringing this motion forward. I won't re-articulate what you've already said, because you said it so well, and I agree entirely. I was very disappointed to see the DAP legislation pass through the House of Assembly recently. Fortunately, it was defeated in the Legislative Council, and I'm hoping that, unless proven otherwise, this damaging legislation does not see the light of day. In terms of the motion before us, I think it's fairly simple in the sense that it is calling on this council to debate and form a position and then bring it to council and endorse it to ensure that we are vocally taking a position on behalf of our constituency and making sure that the interests of the Meander Valley are upheld and shown to the Tasmanian government as they plough ahead with this proposed legislation. Referencing comments that have been made during question time about the need to consult with the community, I fully agree with that. I think the issue that we do have is the timelines that are imposed upon us by the Tasmanian government for consultation. It does truncate things, and to that extent, I certainly encourage everyone that can to attend the DAP meeting in Deloraine, because that will be an informative event that will explain in depth the problems with the legislation. At this stage, I will continue to oppose the DAP unless proven otherwise that it can benefit the Tasmanian community in some way. But until that time, I don't think that that is the case, and I certainly stand by your words, Councillor. Scrap the DAP.
Thanks, Councillor. Before I open up for discussion, anybody that needs to leave the public gallery, please do so if you wish to. You don't want to continue on while we open up debate. I should have said that before we start this on. My apologies.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Well.
get a bus.
You can be there a while, Robin.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Well, that's clear to me, isn't it? Okay, open up for discussion, councillors. It's in here, it's ready for Mike.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, absolutely agree with everything that's been said so far. In attending that Planning Matters Alliance meeting in Launceston, the facts and figures, if people want to dispute them, they can, I don't, is that we are performing very well as a state in terms of timeframes for getting our assessments done and approvals done, very low rates of appeals to the tribunal. I see absolutely nothing that would reinforce a view that we need such a panel. In talking to some planners interstate, they tell me their mixture of homegrown experts versus those that are brought in from outside, how often the decisions reflect where they've come from. You know, where they are discretionary matters we're assessing, but it's curious that would keep happening on a statistical basis such that where you came from determines the outcome. And I think that reflects and reinforces the reasoning as to why it's a poor approach to an issue that really doesn't exist. And having read the bill, the new draft bill over the weekend, I really don't see that it's done anything to make any definitive changes, and I actually see it was slightly scurrilous in that the things that they did change are amendable by other than requiring a new bill. You know, when you stick things within regulations and prescription, they're far easier to change than what the original Act is itself. And in my view, if you don't have the Act in the first place, then you can't change any regulations that go with it. So that forms my view as to why we wouldn't have it. And, you know, as I say, all those levels they've set for when what might be triggering events, they are relatively easy, not totally easy, but they're relatively easy to amend those at any point and include other items that you might want to in the prescribed items. Probably that's not too obtuse, to basically get back the original bill they had, and a system that, you know, when we go to appeals, I'd be interested to find out what the statistics are of you know, experts at 10 paces, who was paying the piper as to what the outcome that they're presenting is, like the arguments when you get to tribunals are between experts that view something as being of significant effect and others that are not. I just think that they've tried to make a mountain out of a molehill that really doesn't even exist. And I am very disappointed that they've tried to, you know, it's a political aim to have this set up, and I don't believe it's good for the people of Tasmania. And as I say, when experts disagree in tribunals, but you've then said, okay, when we make the final decision, there can be no appeal of that decision, I think that's a really parlous state to end up in, and should not be countenanced by us at all. And so I'm supportive of this, and flagging that I've seen nothing thus far that would change my mind in April when we make a decision.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. A bit disappointed the galleries left, thanks to those that stayed on. Look, this comes up all the time, actually, timeframes, and I do want to make the comment that it is tricky for councils, not just our council, but all councils across the state. When you're given a time frame, and people need to remember we work in cycles, so we have a workshop once a month, we have a meeting once a month, and we need to have time to discuss things and discuss things thoroughly so that everyone has the opportunity to understand what we're doing or where we're going. So in saying that, I guess I am pretty disappointed we don't have the opportunity to have a discussion about this before some councillors would like us to. But I'm also a bit nervous about what this precedent this might set. We're having a discussion about something in a workshop and kind of making a decision, but not really making a decision because we're not making the decision until after the meeting. So it's taken me a bit to understand. I don't think anything we discuss in a workshop on the 25th of March is going to be a lot different to the decision that the majority of councillors made on the 12th of November. So I'm probably going around and around in circles, but I'm also not inclined to want to push a decision through or a conversation through that will benefit Planning Matters Alliance and not the whole community. So maybe no surprises. I don't support the motion, but I do support good consultation and also the right for appeal. I did write that note down. Of course, I support the right for appeal. So happy to go with the majority, but probably no surprises that I'm not supporting it today.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other councillors? Comments? No? Okay, well, I don't think that I'll be changing my views as we went from the 12th of November as well. I haven't seen anything in this legislation that makes me want to support it. I think it's a poor bit of legislation that the government are putting forward when they should be concentrating on other things. That's my view. Anyway, any other councillors want to make a comment? If not, we'll go back to the second of the motion. Councillor Dudman?
No.
Councillor Lader is moving the motion.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you for the discussion. In case anyone hadn't realised it, I prepared my speech because I feel very passionate about it, so I did copious amounts of research. And before I read my little bit, I want to say thank goodness for Planning Matters Alliance Tasmania. Thank goodness for the experts that they have that help everyday people understand the consequences of planning decisions. I am so grateful to them. I could not tell you how grateful I am for them to help me before I became a councillor and now that I am a councillor to fully understand that perspective. As I said earlier, I have a huge amount of respect for our planners here, but it's really important, I think, to look at everything through the lens of community. What is the best decision for community? Not for developers, but for the people who live there, who have skin in the game. And while I'm at it, you know, a long time ago, before I became a councillor, I used to get called a NIMBY. Well, I say NIMBY and proud. That means that I care about where I live. It means I care about what comes here. So, yeah, I need a T-shirt that says NIMBY and proud. And now I'm just going to bore you with my prepared speech because I've spent so much time researching. At a recent PMAT public meeting in Launceston, a motion was passed urging councils to hold public meetings on the proposed legislation. The amendments to the DAP bill released a few weeks ago are so minimal that they bring no real change. A quick review of the document entitled Revised Land Use Planning and Approvals Development Assessment Panel Bill 2025 Background Report for Consultation February 2025, especially with its comparison table, makes it clear that very little has been amended. With the public submission deadline of 24 April fast approaching, there is an urgent need to establish our formal position and quickly communicate the potential impacts of this bill to our community. Our council has already endorsed a submission opposing the initial DAP bill. The tight timeframe for consultation for the amended bill is frustrating and raises questions about how genuinely the state government seeks a thorough and transparent consultation process. The PMAT public meeting on 27 March in Deloraine will be a critical opportunity for the community to understand what we will lose if DAPs are passed into law. And once again, I say scrap the DAP. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is Johnston, Cronshaw, Smedley,
Sindhu,
Temple, Lowder,
House, and against,
Councillor Cameron. I'm stuck on names today, my apologies.
Cronshaw and Cameron.
Motion's passed.
Mr Mayor, may I just for a moment
just
say something? Councillor Lowder brought up the subject of NIMBY in her closing remarks, which was new to the argument. I'm not decrying that. But simply to say that NIMBY is an acronym not in my backyard. But NIMBYs do want some things in their backyard. And it's never said what they do want in the backyard. It's just seen as being a blanket, I don't want anything in my backyard.
Right. Thanks, Councillor Temple, for that. We're moving on. There are no planning matters at this meeting. We're moving on to corporate services, which is page 21. The crowd outside have moved further away. I think they're not quite as at the door as what they were. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Gardner.
You can do House.
Thank you, Councillor House. Councillor Dunman is the mover.
I'm happy to move this and thank the officers for their work. Largely it relates to small changes in expenditure or grant income, which is obviously a well-appreciated contribution to the work that we're doing. So happy to take the threat.
Thank you. Councillor House is the second motion.
Thank you. Happy to endorse as well. And thanks to all those that put all this together. And I think it's just another reinforcement of good sound fiscal management that's well explained and well covered, so I endorse it totally.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors, if needed.
I'm happy to support it.
No discussion? Happy to go back to councillors at any date, councillor? Councillor Dunham, nothing to add. I'll put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you. Page 24, Development Regulatory Services, open public open space. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Dudman, please. Councillor Cameron. Councillor Dudman is the mover.
Look, once again, another excellent policy coming out of the Director for Development and Regulatory Services offices, so I congratulate everyone in that team for their work on that. This policy obviously just shores up and, I guess, improves and clarifies our position on public open space contributions and open space generally, and it is something that I think is largely, in this instance, should be uncontroversial, and I'm more than happy to support.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, thanks to the team for working through this. I mean, a lot of people mightn't realise how expensive it is for a developer to invest anywhere, really. So I really appreciate the work that's gone into this to try and make it as open and as transparent as it possibly can be. I know in the discussion we had at the workshop we talked about open space, you know, land versus money, I guess in pretty simple terms, and I know that my desire is always to see more public land. I'd love to see more, but there has to be a way that we measure that, and I think this policy is really clear and helpful going forward, so thank you for the work that's gone into this.
Thanks, Councillor. Open up for discussion, councillors. Anything to add? Councillor Temple.
The whole notion of public open space or money in lieu of public open space has always troubled me, in that public open space is there in perpetuity. The money in lieu disappears on expenses here and there and doesn't particularly help future generations that live at a place. That I would just wish there was some way we could do this better.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've raised this at the workshop. I guess my issue is that we've spent quite a few years trying to brevetise, if that's a word, our policies, and that we have other subordinate documents. I sort of find this like it would fit quite well in a volume of War and Peace. It is extremely lengthy, and so I tended to think the way we were heading was to have a simple policy as the previous two were, and then have procedural manual and guidelines, etc., sitting under that. But I'm not going to die in a ditch over the approach. And I guess to comment on Councillor Temple's comment just made, the policy does articulate that we should ensure that cash in lieu contributions are spent for the purpose of acquiring or improving public open space. It's sometimes gets a bit difficult to see the connection between the receipt of the money and that occurring, but at least it's saying that's what it's there for. And I guess that might be a scary comment that goes beyond the policy, but in my view of the world, we ought to be looking at a similar thing in terms of multiple dwellings, be it a bylaw or some other mechanism, because in a sense we're getting a lot of development occurring now that doesn't fit within this mechanism. So either strata title or multiple dwellings of some kind, are we, building social and environmental outcomes into what we're doing now that will come back and bite us in years to come? And so maybe that's a discussion for a workshop at some point to, how we holistically address this issue of increase in density, etc. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else, councillors? Yep. Councillor Cameron has seconded the motion.
No, I don't think I have any.
Councillor Dudman has moved the motion. Moved. Okay, put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. That's unanimous. Thank you. At 39, Governance and Community Wellbeing, Deloraine's behind Kilda Police. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second. Councillor Ryder, thank you. Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. It's very exciting to see that we're about to have our first recycling, self-serve happening in Deloraine, and that there's the potential to support different charities through the machine. I'm going to be very excited to gather up my containers and go give it a try. So, very happy to support this.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, just to reiterate what Councillor Loader said, I think it's great to see that the Lions Club are taking the initiative here to get this facility in Deloraine. I think it's going to be a great outcome for the region, and looking forward to seeing more of them.
Thank you. I agree with both of you. My understanding is that containers have to be not squashed when they are put taken in, so you can't squash your cans, remember. You've got to be able to read the barcode. So just bear that in mind. Yeah, open up for discussion. Councillor House.
I'm just a great fan of all the service clubs that we have in our municipality, and Lions, they've been around for a long time. They do a great job, as do so many other service clubs. And I think we're so lucky to have them, and they bring so much to our community. So anything we can support Lions or any other service club, I think we're all for it. Sorry. Good on them.
Yeah, discussion, councillors. Councillor Simfield.
Totally in support of what's proposed. I just had a query that I didn't raise earlier in relation to point 3E on page 40 of the recommendation, and it says that all costs incurred by council in the establishment of a recycle rewards reverse vending machine to be reimbursed proportionally on an annual basis in equal instalments. Does that mean in the term of the initial lease, the 5-year period, or could that be interpreted as 20 years, 30 years, 50 years? What exactly is that?
Right. My understanding is that we will be reimbursed funds on an annual basis for any outlays that we have. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Other than that, totally supported.
Very good. Anything else, councillors? Yeah, not. Councillor Cameron is the second of the motion.
Happy to support it.
Councillor Lowe has the mover. Okay, put a motion. All those in favour, please raise your hand. Say aye. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Oh, I'm off.
Oh, page 43. I'm just stealing the mayor's computer, sorry. Page 43, everybody. Right. So, governance and community wellbeing, 14.2, local government association of Tasmania general manager committee nomination. To appoint the nomination for Mayor Wayne Johnson for the Local Government Committee Association of Tasmania General Committee. Is there someone that would like to move that motion? You look thrilled to do that, Councillor Dudman. Thank you.
Councillor Sinfield, have you?
Councillor Sinfield to second it. Thank you, Councillor Sinfield. Councillor Dudman is a mover of the motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I am actually thrilled to move this motion because I think it's vital that on the Local Government Association of Tasmania committees that we have strong representation and that we have local representation from the Meander Valley. And, of course, that's what we currently have in Mayor Wayne Johnson's presence on that committee, and that's what we will continue to have, hopefully, with the success of his nomination going into this. So you're absolutely right. I am thrilled to bits by this. And will remain so because I'm passionate about my local community and about making sure that strong representatives are on these committees.
Hear, hear. Oh, thank you. Can you match that, Councillor Sinfield?
I can match that. Absolutely. Quote unquote ditto.
I do appreciate our humour around the council table. Thanks, everybody. Was there anyone else that would like to make comments or move on? No? Councillor Dudman?
You've said enough.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, thank you. I'll put that to the vote then. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. We can get him back in now and give him a clap. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
You have a very good support here.
Okay, thanks, people. Moving on to Governance Committee Wellbeing, page 48. Steering Committee nomination. Councillor Dudman.
Mayor, I'd like to move that one, we appoint the Acting General Manager as Returning Officer for the purposes of a ballot. Two, that the Returning Officer opens nominations immediately for the position mentioned in 14.3 to be filled. Three, that nominations are then closed immediately by the Returning Officer upon receiving them. And four, that immediately after nominations are closed, a secret ballot is conducted to fill this position.
Do I have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Lowe, thank you. So our motion, we got the motion down so we all understand what it is.
I've got that down.
We understand.
We do need to have that.
I will get it down.
We do need to have that down. Okay. So the crux is that we'll be taking a secret ballot for this particular item. We'll have nominations come forward and then we'll take a vote on that with the General Manager and the governance officer to count the votes.
Would you like me to repeat it?
That would be great.
Or
down, if you've got it written.
No, I just did that verbatim.
Are you going to nominate two, though?
No.
You're not? No?
No.
Okay. No. I thought that was going to fix the other issue we had, but that's okay.
I'll call for nominations.
Yeah.
Hang on, well, can we just get the motion written down?
Yep.
Yeah, let's just get it cleared because this is not the motion to
take the
vote.
So one, Council appoints the Acting General Manager, Craig Davies, as the Returning Officer for the purpose of a ballot.
As the Returning Officer for...
at ballot.
To instruct the returning officer to immediately open nominations for the NTRLUS Steering Committee. Three, that upon receipt of nominations, the returning officer closes nominations. Mm-hmm. And four, instructs the returning officer to immediately conduct a secret ballot for the position.
Instruct the returning officer to immediately complete, was it?
Conduct a secret ballot for the position.
I'll put the motion. Just go past the motion to do it, don't we? I'll put the motion, all those in favour? They are? Yes, that's unanimous. That's now in your hands.
Okay. So we will open for nominations for the NTRLUS Steering Committee. So, nominations.
Councillor Sindhu, you're nominating yourself?
Yep.
Councillor Lowe, you're... No,
I was going to nominate Councillor Sinfield and he can nominate me, but I'll nominate me. Okay. Is that what you'd like?
Yeah.
Is that a plan? That'd be good.
Okay. So we have nominations for Councillor Sinfield, Councillor Cameron. Are there any other nominations? We will close the nominations. Write one of those two names on the ticket and we will collect them count.
Oh, there's a bit of a problem.
Technical problem. Yeah.
Technical problem.
You don't have a pen, Ron.
Oh, I bought
some. Thank you. Said you were going to do it, Disadvantage.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Well, you've got two pens, Chris.
Yeah, I've got two.
Just let me know when you're finished and I'll come collect your paper.
Thank you.
Can I borrow a pen?
No, mine only writes one word. But you can have one.
Oh,
it's
one here.
Got it?
Sorry.
Who are you voting for? Do we speak to the motion? Or?
No donkey votes, neither, please.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay.
Hello.
Oh, thanks, Benjamin.
Thank you.
everyone? Everyone's going to go kitchen or man's office or?
You can do it there if you want, doesn't matter.
Good.
I think the trust is selling 90 votes to them. There's three of them.
$50?
I would have appointed Ben as my scrutineer.
Thank you. So tally the votes. So we have 6 votes for Councillor Cameron and 3 votes for Councillor Greenfield.
Congratulations on Councillor Cameron.
Can't do that, Robin. Thank you, everyone. Bearing in mind, this still has to go to another vote, doesn't it?
It's going to go and be ticked off by that draw. Still committing themselves. Councillor Taylor.
Do we need another motion, Mr. Mayor, regarding the proxy?
Well, we do need a motion accepting that Stephanie is our candidate, I believe.
We probably do.
Can you make the same?
So, can I just say then, to Councillor Temple's point and to your point, we move the motion that we accept Councillor Cameron as the, do we then Councillor Sinfield as the proxy?
Well, that's what's suggested.
Yeah. I think we can do that by consensus.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy.
So that's what's suggested.
Happy. Mayor, following the ballot, I would like to move that Deputy Mayor Cameron be formally nominated to the NPRLUS Steering Committee and that Councillor Sinfield be nominated as the proxy.
I'll just wait for...
I probably should have stayed with that, shouldn't I?
No. Not now. The vote on it. Is it there?
Don't have to abstain.
You don't have to abstain now.
Please
not sign. Probably. Process.
Where's Mick with our jokes?
That's not me that Deputy Mayor
tell you a joke.
Before we nominated to them, I was sort of council.
Yeah, we'll be the last one to tell jokes.
Councillor Temple, you having a second of that motion? Councillor Temple has a second of that motion. Any discussion, councillors? If not, put the motion all those in favour, please. Say aye. Against. Carried. Unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it up.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Moving over to Governance Community Wellbeing, page 51. Would you like to move? Somebody would like to second, please. Councillor Dunman, Councillor House.
Good hands going everywhere.
Well, there wasn't.
There was. They were all the same time.
Councillor Dunman.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, more than happy to endorse the 11 points in response to the priorities provided by the Tasmanian government. I think they are well-founded.
They're not so well-funded.
They're not well-funded, and I would like to reiterate that I'm not getting paid by the Tasmanian government to say this. No, they are well-founded and provide, I think, reasoned response to the proposals.
Councillor House, you second that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't at the last workshop, but I did read through with great interest the findings, I guess, and there are a number of recommendations that were supported, some supported in principle and some weren't supported. But when I looked through them, I agree with the comments that were made by everyone. I think it's... I think overall is going to achieve its objective, and I support it also.
Thank you. Any more discussion, councillors? Councillor Adam.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I support what's written in the agenda, and it was good to have a robust discussion about this in the workshop. There are a few things that in the document that I find a little bit alarming. I think some of the definitions are a little bit fluffy, and particularly around the advisors, who are they, what's the job description. I mean, I just feel that this document, while it's quite lengthy, doesn't spell things out as well as I would like it to be spelt out, so that no one is left with any doubt. I think that the writers of this document could have done better. I'm also really pleased to see that there's a priority reform about mandating councillor learning and development, but I wouldn't like to see the general manager burdened by having to basically supervise councillor training. So that is a really big concern. Also, the current platform for the training is really, really clunky. And I've said this, you've heard me say this before, and I attended the online meeting. There was me and one other councillor across the whole state there, two of us. Out of how many councillors would there be in the state? I know there were three meetings, and I know the general manager attended one. But that particular one, that was just me and another councillor. So, I mean, I feel quite passionately about these reforms. Anything that can be done to make local government better is a good thing. Anything we can do to learn how to be councillors more appropriately, whatever the word is, more knowledgeably, that's a great thing. But I think the mandated training needs to be looked at quite well. But I would also, I know not everyone around this table has completed the training, and I would say that if you put your hand up to represent the community, then please do the training. Please, please do the training. Everybody, doesn't matter how many years you've been here, can learn something new. Sorry, that was off topic.
Well, that wasn't really. It was close.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
I'm currently doing training that was supplied to me by the GAP.
Mm-hmm.
It has three modules in it, two of which I completed. The third one, I've only been able to complete it halfway through because it's not complete. Has everyone had this, or is it only for new councillors coming on board?
I don't know. I had trouble completing mine. I did it over a period of time, and then I couldn't get back in, so I'm not 100% complete on where I should be at the moment. But it was actually supplied by not by the GAP, it was the Department of Local Government doing the training.
But it's still in development from what what I spoke to the person about it. The last module was quite involved, and it's, like I said, it's still in development.
Yeah.
So, it needs some work.
and unfortunately, the Department of Local Government are underfunded at the moment, they're down in numbers, so that's, I guess, I won't make excuses for them, but they are struggling with getting the work through. Going forward, they would like the GAP to take on that training element, to put it out to the sector. I went to a meeting for mayors on the 28th of Feb, which was to do with this, and we had seven or eight mayors at Devonport, which was a good turn up. They also had one at Hobart the day before, so a few mayors certainly turned up to put our views forward to the Director of Local Government on what we think of their amendments. They're trying. Whether they can bring in what they think they're going to bring in before the next round of elections, I don't know. But it's better than what it used to be years ago. And I concur with Councillor Adam. If you haven't done the training, I think you should. You'll get something out of it. Or you'll argue with it, one of the two. Right, anything else on that one? Anything that comes out?
Oh, look, probably just a question, really. Just in relation to the mandatory pre-election education, I'm not against that by any means. I just, and support it in principle, which is great. I mean, that's the world I live in anyway with education. But I just wondered how onerous that might be for someone that's thinking of, you know, becoming a counsellor, how soon before they nominate they would need to do that. I just wouldn't mind a bit of clarity on it, really.
The clarity I can give is that it's not in legislation yet. It's not something that they have put in, and they don't even know whether they'll actually get that mandatory requirement in. The proposal I put to them, or the scenario I put to them, was some people might not even realise until the day before nominations close that they want to put their hand up.
How are they going to do
mandatory training? They're not. And their comeback was, well, okay, if they then put their hand up to be a candidate, they'll probably have to do a mandatory component to show that they've done something before the elections are held. But they still haven't worked out whether they can enforce it yet or not. So they're hopeful. Councillor Cameron.
Yeah, I think local government reform is important. I think it's hard, though, to strike the right balance. And a lot of these things I do support in principle. But I agree with you around the training. You know, I haven't finished it yet because they did put out a new module, and then the same, you get locked out of it, it's complicated. Yep, good reminder to finish it. But you're right, I don't want to stop people from wanting to nominate for council because they've got this huge onerous task of paperwork coming out of their ears. Nobody wants that. In saying that, I've spent a bit of time observing other councillors around the state, and I am almost very sure that there are some councillors that will nominate for election and have no idea that they even sit as a planning authority, and that's a hard job. And if you're not prepared to do that, maybe don't need to be on council. Or maybe they might make that decision themselves. So I guess it is trying to find the right balance. And I appreciate it's a tricky job to get this right. So good luck.
Yeah. Any other discussion? Councillor House, you were the second of the motion. Anything to add?
No, nothing to add.
Councillor Dunman has moved
up. You don't put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That's unanimous, thank you. Motion to close the meeting to the public. Somebody would like to move. Somebody would like to Councillor Dadman. Seconded, Councillor Loader. Thank you. Put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That's unanimous, thank you. Live stream recordings off, please.